Do you like to walk in the rain? I do. Have you ever gone for a walk on one of those gray, misty days when you're not really quite sure whether the sun has come up or not because you never see it during the day? One of those days where as you walk in the mist, it begins to accumulate on your eyelashes, and then all of a sudden as you blink, a water drop falls from your eyelashes onto your cheek and begins to run down, and joining with other mist that's on your face finally culminates into a big drip that drops off the bottom of your chin. One of those days as you walk through the woods that the trees and the bushes loom ahead of you like phantoms that are just a little bit out of focus, and that if you get too close to them, they will reach out their leafy, cold, wet arms and embrace you. Do you ever need to be alone? I think some days when we need to be alone, and if it's a misty day, it is so good to go for a walk. As the mist runs over you, it seems to wash the furrows of your brain out to help prepare you for duties that must be performed on sunny days. It was one such misty day a few years ago that I was walking through the woods in North Georgia. And I was pushing my way past the pine boughs, for just about all of the forests of North Georgia are pine trees. I came across a depression in the floor of the forest. And it was a strange depression because it was just about the size of a human being. And so I stopped and I looked at it, and I noticed that as I looked more carefully now that there were many such depressions about the same size all around me. And then looking more carefully through the mist, I saw in the bushes just a little way from me, a headstone. And I had stumbled there in the forest across an old, old cemetery that had obviously not been used or attended by anyone for many decades. And I went over and I pushed the wet, leafy branches away from the stone. And it was very difficult to read. It was almost had all been weathered away. But I could tell by feeling it that there had been some kind of writing on the stone. My curiosity now really captured me wholeheartedly. And so I dug through the pine needles on the floor of the forest until I got some dirt. And I took a big handful of that moist dirt and I began to smear it all over the face of that worn stone. And as I smeared the dirt all over the face of that, of course, it began to fill in the very faint impressions, and then I was able to read what was there. And I read there the name of a John, and it sounds almost very trite to say Smith, but that was his name, John Smith. And I noticed that from his date of his birth and the date of his death, that John was only 19 when he died. And I sat there in the pine needles and I wondered, you know, why did John die when he was 19? And then I noticed down at the bottom of the stone, there was some more indentation. So I took some more dirt and smeared it over the bottom of the stone. And there on the bottom of the stone, I read these words: died for his country. Battle of Resaca, and then it gave the date. John was a Confederate soldier, 19 years old. Resaca was 15 miles from that spot. And as I sit there in the pine needles with the mist all around me, I could in my mind's eye envision the news as it came back home. John's dead. John was killed. You better go and get him. And I can see the father taking the old wagon and hitching up the horses and sorrowfully riding up to Resaca. And there, picking up the body of John and laying it in the wagon. I felt very sorry, not for John, but for John's parents that day. And I was awakened by my reverie by seeing a few feet away another stone. And so I went over, and it was in similar condition, and so by rubbing more dirt on that stone, I was able to read on that stone, Daniel Smith. And now I could hardly wait to read the rest. And putting more dirt onto it, I realized that Daniel was 22 when he died. And rubbing the dirt on the bottom of the stone, it said, Battle of Resaca, and gave the date. Both brothers, same battle. Now, for over 100 years, lay under the pine trees of Georgia together. And I wondered what kind of men they were. I wondered which resurrection they would come up in. I wondered if that day that the father had to hook up the horses in the wagon as he rode off, did he have the hope in his heart that we have in our hearts today? That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And that Jesus is coming again. And that when he comes again, all of his loved ones who have died with faith in him will arise to everlasting life. I wondered about John and Daniel that misty day. I could not help but think of our scripture this morning. Jesus comes to Bethany and Martha comes out and she says, Oh Lord, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that was true. For if Jesus had come, Lazarus would not have died. For you cannot die in the presence of the life giver. And I thought to myself, if Jesus had come to Bethany when the message had first gone out to him to come to help Lazarus, if he had come so, he would have come to Bethany only as a great doctor, as a great healer. Something that he had done in town after town after town all through Judah and Samaria and Galilee. But because Jesus had tarried a few days, now he does not come to Bethany as a healer, but now he comes to Bethany as a prince, as the prince over death itself. For Jesus says to Martha, Martha, your brother will live. I am the resurrection and the life. And she said, Yes, Lord, I know he will live again in the last day. And Jesus said, Martha, his name shall be glorified now. I do not think it is possible for any of us in this sanctuary this morning to imagine the spine-tingling electric effect that must have surrounded that tomb when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He came forth, as we read in our scripture, bound hand and foot. He was wrapped up tight like a mummy. It was impossible for him to walk. Not only was he brought back to life, but the angel of the Lord actually picked him up and stood him in the entrance to the tomb. How that must have electrified the countryside. Oh, how Martha and Mary must have loved Jesus. But my heart thrills this morning at the prayer that Jesus offered before he said, Lazarus, come forth. He says in front of that whole circle of people, enemies and friends alike that were there, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you will hear me today because you have always heard me. And we're told he said that for the benefit of those that were there and not for himself or for his Father. I love that. Father, I know you will hear me because you have always heard me. Many years ago in the United States, you could get an audience with the president by merely going to the White House and sitting in a sitting and waiting room and wait that he had time to see you. It's quite impossible to do these days, but... And many years ago, a young man urgently needed to see President Lincoln. And we're told that he came and he sat in this waiting room all one day and could not get in to see the president. There were just too many other people in front of him. And so the next day he came back early and he sat down. But as he came there early and sat down, some other people who were much more important than he came into the room and they kept getting in to see the president before him. And he began to realize that he might have to wait several days to see the president. Now, it just so happens that as he was waiting there in the waiting room, he noticed a child kept coming in and going back out, talking to this person, talking to that person. And the young man thought he looked like a very pleasant child, and so he started to talk to him. The child talked, and they actually, through the rest of that day, got to be very good friends. And as the end of the day was coming, and the secretary who was sitting at the desk made the announcement, "I'm sorry, the president won't be seeing anybody more this day. You'll all have to come back tomorrow." The young man got quite a look of dejection on his face. And his young friend said to him, he said, "Why do you seem so sad all of a sudden?" "Oh," the young man said, "I need to see the president. I need to see him badly, and I've waited 2 long days now, and I just have to see him." "Oh," said the boy, "you need to see the president? Come with me." And he took him by the hand, and to the man's amazement, he walked right past the secretary sitting at the desk, and the secretary didn't say a word. And he stood in amazement as the lad opened the door, and they walked into the room, and there sat the president. And as they walked across the room, the boy called out, "Hi, Dad, this man needs to see you." The way to the Father is through the Son. The Father hears the Son. He has always heard the Son. And the Son this day, we are told in Hebrews, and I praise the Lord for this, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and I wish you would open your Bibles with me to this verse this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The writer of Hebrews says to us, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." Who is the he in this verse? It is Jesus Christ, isn't it? It says that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter what kind of a life you've led. It doesn't matter what kind of horrible, cruel, debauched, wicked thing you've done. He is able to save to the uttermost. And he ever liveth now to make intercession for us. When we get onto our knees, we have a living high priest, Jesus Christ, who listens to our prayers. And he takes our prayers and he presents our petitions before the Father for us. He does it in our stead. He is our intercessor. He stands between us as horrible sinners and the Father as a righteous judge. He is our intercessor. He ever liveth to be so. And what is so exciting about that is that the Father hears him. I have an advocate before the Father who hears him and answers his will. When Jesus presents me before the Father, when he presents you before the Father and says, "My Father, this person has given himself to me. I plead my blood for this person." He is then able to save us how much? To the uttermost. He who is the resurrection and the life. He who is able to save to the uttermost. He who always has the Father's ear. He is our high priest. And he will come someday and save us all. And he will raise our loved ones, because he is the resurrection and the life. Oh, I love Jesus today, don't you? My heart thrills that I have a friend whom the Father always hears.